This week we talk about a club famous for its ham and its sand.
Hello everyone, Josh has really confused me with that. What?
Parma ham, parmesan.
Oh my word. Unbelievable. We're going to leave that in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers. We're talking Parma, Josh. Parma of the late 90s, but we'll focus on the 90s in general because this was everyone's favourite team on Champ Manager 2 or whatever it was.
I would say it's more everybody's favourite team to reminisce about but have no knowledge of.
I'd agree.
The nostalgia seemed like, oh, this side had these players and wasn't it great, but has anyone ever seen it been play? I don't know. Did that happen? If no one was there to remember to see it, did it ever happen?
True. If a forest falls in a tree, that's the wrong words. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, how do you know it's happened? That's something along those lines.
Yep, that's it. Parma. Full name of a club. Do you ever pronounce it?
What?
Do you ever say the full name? Parma Calcio 1913?
No. Oh, hang on. They're not called that anymore, though, are they?
I think they
because
are,
they no. The current Parma team went bust and got re-bought out and then became Parma like 1990 or something, didn't they? Or 19? I swear it's like Palermo. So Palermo aren't called Palermo anymore. They're called Palermo.
I don't know, we have got our full trust in Wikipedia. Yeah? I'm on Parma's page, Parma Calcio, 1913. Calcio, I remember Ronaldo was called in a football game because they weren't allowed the rights to him. He was called Calcio in one of them.
Nice.
Is the key one, an Italian professional football club based in Parma.
Okay. The club was declared bankrupt in 2015 and refounded in Serie D. So I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, on the right hand side, it just say, yeah, as Parma Calcio.
There you go. So I was right, I was just also wrong. So, let's move on. Yeah, Parma. Good kits. Let's start with the basics. Always liked a Parma kit.
Yeah, but they didn't always have it. So, only in like the 94? Let me quickly. So only, later on than that, 98. Did the adopted the yellow and blue horizontal stripes for the first time in many years.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, the blue and white stripes horizontal.
Yeah, that's the
like,
famous
yeah.
one for Parma, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, not always had it.
Yeah, I'm flicking through their years, because you can obviously go forward and backwards without reading Amsterdam. Just flicking through. White was always their home colour, and yellow and blue was always away, and then it switched in 98, like you said. Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
And we start off in 1990, though, because this is a first time in Syria, which blows your mind a little bit. And they've obviously seen they're now currently in Serie B. And so to think, I think we always think of them as a top flight club.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's, the first their first ever season in Serie A was 1990. That is a bit sort of mind-blowing, actually, because you're right. Always think of them as being top flight. But what names? Throw some names at me, Josh, from 1990.
Claudio Taffarel.
Awesome. Brazilian number
Brazilian
one.
Brazilian goalkeeper. Yeah. We have Thomas Brolin.
Arsenal? Was Thomas Brolin Arsenal? Or am I thinking of
Leeds,
the other Swedish guy?
Leeds. You're thinking Mrs. Leeds he was. Big guy.
Yeah. Especially now.
Right. Yeah. And a player that I don't remember, Alessandro Melli, a forward, seemingly top goal scorer for a few seasons.
Nope.
Any recollection?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah. So he was top goal scorer for the first 3 years in Serie A. I mean, not great in the second, 91-92, he scored 6 goals, but yeah, so let's look at Alessandro Melli quickly. Parma, Modena, Sampdoria, Milan, Parma, Perugia, Ancona. 2 caps, really, in case you're asking.
I wasn't, but thank you. He followed in his father's footsteps to be a centre forward for Parma.
Oh, that's quite nice. So, first season, finished 6th. Not bad, not bad at all.
Yeah.
And managed by?
Don't know.
Nevio Scala.
Who is
Nevio Scala?
Who's Nevio Scala? I recognise the name. What's he done?
Managed Regina, Parma, Perugia, Borussia Dortmund for a year, Besiktas for a year, Shakhtar, maybe you remember him, Shakhtar?
Might be Shakhtar.
And Spartak Moscow.
Okay.
So, as a manager, he's won majority of stuff with Parma, won an Intercontinental Cup with Dortmund, he won the league with Shakhtar in 2001-02 as well as a cup, and was a Super Cup runner-up for Spartak. But it's Parma, so he was there for at Parma for 7 years, so oversaw their promotion and first six seasons in the league. So we then moved to kind of 91-92, still very much a similar outfit, not really many any changes to the side at that point because you finished sixth, you've done what you've done, do you do much different? But they then go on to finish sixth again and win cup.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. Again, they don't really change the team for the 92-93 season. Is that where you are, 92-93?
Yeah.
Asprilla joins.
Faustino Asprilla joins, yes.
A few little sprinkling of South American Sergio Berti signs, which is a name I recognise from Champ Manager. Sergio Berti. Taffarel's still there. They finished third that season in Serie A. Runners-up in the Supercoppa, quarter-finals of the Coppa Italia, and win the European Cup Winners' Cup. Now, that's a tournament that I really wish was still going.
I just need to understand it a bit more. The European Cup's kind of confused me over the years. I need to kind of get it straight in my head what the European Cup Winners' Cup was.
Well, I don't care what it was. I just want it to be anyone that wins a cup in any nation in Europe gets put in a big pot.
So in England, it would be FA Cup. Two qualifiers. Oh, just FA Cup.
Yeah, just that. No one cares about the League Cup, do they?
I mean, the League Cup should be abolished anyway. So, yeah,
exactly. So, Melli again, top goal scorer with 12 in the league, 15 in all competitions. So he scored 3 goals in all those other competitions. Okay. They won the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup following a 3-1 final victory against Royal Antwerp.
That's a Belgian side being in the final of a European tournament's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame I can't.
We have the must have the final there to see if there's any famous players.
It does. Here we go. Okay, so Royal Antwerp lining up with Stevan Stojanovic in goal, Rudy Tielemans, Nico Brockart, Rudy Smits, Wim Kuykens, Didier Sagers, Ronnie Van Rethy, which is a great name, Dragan Jakovlevic.
I'm waiting for you to pronounce number 11.
And Peter Lenhoff, Francis Severians, Alexandra Szczesny-Tyniszki. That'll do. And then coming off the bench, they had Patrick Van Vijdegerhem and Nuruddin Mukrim. I don't know any of them.
No. Nico Brockhart is a name that maybe... of note to me. Whoa, that is the smallest page. Nico Brockhart, click on the goalkeeper's page.
Oh my god.
He's a former Belgian footballer who played as a central defender.
You read it wrong.
Won the Belgian Cup and Cup Winners' Cup runner-up. That is it, apart from his top right summary, with 2 caps for Belgium. Okay.
I was a bit disappointed in that final because I saw Royal Antwerp in early 90s and thought Man United feeder club, there's going to be players I recognise there.
Oh, you reckon?
But that's what I thought. Yeah. So,
Faustino Asprilla.
Yes.
What were we remembering?
Well, Newcastle more than Parma, but nippy, small, flair. Flair is the word I'd use.
Explosive,
that's a good word for Stephen Asprilla. Yeah,
so he joined Palm from Atletico Nacional, so his first foray into Europe. 3-4 seasons there, 25 goals in 84 appearances. 2 seasons at Newcastle, 9 goals in 48 appearances. I think more famed for his... Didn't he score a hat-trick against Barcelona?
Yeah.
That happened. And then actually rejoined Parma for a season. Only played 12 times of any kind of... That's his time in Europe done. He's going to Brazil with Palmeiras and Fluminense and, all around South America. Okay. So, we move on. 93-94.
First thing I notice, Taffarel's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
But not replaced with a name that anyone knows.
No.
But the big guy, or the little guy, the big name up front, who's joining Asprilla. I mean, imagine this is a front two. Not a height on it, sir.
Gianfranco Zola. Oh.
Yeah. But Gianfranco Zola is the goal scorer. He is 18 goals in his first season, 19 goals in his second season. and 10 goals in his third season until he is sold because Carlo Ancelotti decides that he can't play up front in his system. Ah. One decision that he apparently moves on to regret.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, because the Premier League were blessed with Gianfranco Zola.
Yeah, I was just looking at this, the little blurb at the top of the 93-94 page. The purchase of Gianfranco Zola from Napoli was successful, given his second place in the top scoring charts, beaten only by Giuseppe Signori of Lazio. There's a name I remember. Yeah. Together with Thomas Brolin and Faustino Asprilla, Parma's attack left many teams without a chance, but their defence was not good enough to match the level of the champions Milan, who conceded less than half of 35 goals Parma did.
I mean, that's just crazy that they would have conceded 16 or less then in a 38 game season.
Yeah.
So, although, yeah, if you look at that, those defenders that Parma have got, Benavaria, Apollini, Minotti, Dicaria, only Roberto Sensini is a name that I remember.
Agreed.
Always looked very old.
Yeah.
Roberto Sensini, Newell's Old Boys, Udinese, Parma, Lazio, Parma, Udinese. Ooh. Apart from Newell's Old Boys, if he finished at Newell's Old Boys, that'd be a palindromic career, which would have been fantastic for four clubs.
So it sounds like it's your sort of wet dream, to be honest.
That is. And then managed Udinese, Estudiantes, Newell's Old Boys, Colón, Atletico Rafaela, and Everton, Vina Del Mar, and was managing them up until a few seasons back.
Nice.
I think I must remember him playing for Argentina as well.
That's, yeah, I imagine it's more the Argentina. And then we move on to 94-95. So they win the UEFA Cup, Josh, in 94-95. Finish third, runners-up in the Coppa Italia. Again, Asprilla, Zola leading the line up front. Thomas Brolin still there. Dino Baggio joins in
Dino
midfield.
Dino Baggio and Fernando Couto are the names that I recognise coming in. Yeah.
Still no goalkeeper of note that's replaced in Taffarel, but they're obviously happy with what they've got. Sensini's still there. But yeah, I mean, Dino Baggio. What do you remember of Dino Baggio?
I'm just going to throw it out there. Was he bald?
I do think he's the one that bald, but then I'm looking at his, I've gone to his page, and there's no photos of him being bald.
No, I think there's a photo of him at this point, like an older photo, like 5 years ago, and he's got a lovely head of hair.
Yeah. But he did, it is him, it is the same one, because he went from Parma to Lazio to Blackburn Rovers, and I remember that happening.
No, I don't remember that.
I do, yeah, I remember that. He had a loan spell at Blackburn Rovers.
So, what's he in Blackburn? Who's he managed by at Blackburn at that point?
2003 at Blackburn.
Oh, Baggio's manager at Blackburn, Graham Souness, employed him in an unfamiliar forward role occasionally, however, which had a negative impact on his performances. Did he think he was resigning Roberto Baggio?
Maybe.
Got confused.
He was probably just blaming Paul Pogba. Where's Pogba in all of that? So.
Yeah, he was a complete, well-rounded, hard-working, tenacious and tactically versatile player who was capable of playing in various midfield positions. Yeah, and I mean, he's got a lot of appearances overall. It's 172 for Parma, so probably goes down as a bit of a club legend, I'd have thought.
I think so.
The Cup Final then, UEFA Cup Final. We have a two-legged affair. And it's an all-Italian. So they beat Juventus 1-0 in the first leg and draw them 1-1 in the second leg, 2-1 overall. So we have, we obviously touched on the Parma side. Juve, I've got Rampulla, Fusi, Correa, Tacchinardi, Roberto Yani is a left-back I very much remember.
Yeah.
Delivio, Didier Deschamps of recent episodes. Paolo Sousa, who went on to manage...
Swansea.
Roberto Baggio, so Battle of the Baggios in this, yes. And we have a couple of Premier League forwards, Ravanelli and Gianluca Vialli leading the dark line. So, yeah, with Lippi managing, Del Piero came off the bench. So, yeah, very good side for Parma to beat in that final.
I mean, this was like peak Italian football, right? This sort of era in the 90s. This is when you're waking up on a Sunday and watching Football Italia on Channel 4 with James Richardson, I want to say his name is.
Yes.
James Richardson? I think that's
Jimbo,
his name.
Yeah, Jimbo, AC Jimbo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to love that. I used to love getting up and watching that and seeing all this talented Italian football. Well, as a bit of a tangent, Josh, what's happened to Italian football? Is it just all the scandals with Juventus? Is it?
I think we have to probably look close to home and think about how has the Premier League disrupted European football and drained other leagues.
Okay.
And I think not necessarily. It's not because every league has a chance to monetize it in whichever they want, and Premier League were just ahead of a game and have done amazingly well in doing that. And I think other leagues have fallen behind. So you had like La Liga was still showing games at like 9 in the evening.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very marketable in other countries. We have Serie A. I mean, even the look of the pitches, I think, affects it. But look, like you said, bright green pitches in Premier League look really aesthetically pleasing. Whereas you look at Serie A pitches, go, that's a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't think they monetized it very well, and they're suffering as a result. And I think scrambling, you look at Juventus' finances, scrambling around to maintain relevance.
Yeah, fair enough. A little tangent there, but yeah.
But in the 95-96 season with Parma, they have the money and they go out and buy. They buy Stoichkov. Oh,
lovely.
They buy Cannavaro. Oh. Well, Cannavaro comes through, and Inzaghi, actually. I mean, it must be a young Inzaghi coming through. I know we have Cannavaro signed from Napoli, Filippo Inzaghi, but Inzaghi at that time is
young.
Got to be pretty young, yeah. So Parma, 22. But yeah, only there for a season, 15, actually 2 goals. It's very much blossomed later in his career, didn't he? He was part of that Milan side where they had all the kind of the ageing players but were still performing at a high level.
Yeah.
But yeah, 95-96. We've seen Asprilla go to Newcastle at this point. This turns out to be Nevio Scala's last season in charge before a familiar name replaced him. But yeah, it doesn't really achieve much this season.
No, but the most significant moment of Parma's season was the debut of the club's new superstar, 17-year-old goalkeeper Gianluigi Buffon, who saved a penalty on his debut against AC Milan. 17 years old, and he was Parma's, probably not first choice, I imagine he came on in that game or stepped up, because he got it was the number 12. They still had Luca Bucci, who had been in goal for them previously. But yeah, Gianluigi Buffon, that's when he first comes on the scene.
Yeah, so he has seven appearances in the league, two substitute appearances, quite random.
If he saved a penalty, you could argue that's a red card for the keeper, so he's come on and saved a penalty. That,
yeah,
using a little bit of logic. And then the other one could just be an injury, a substitute appearance, I guess. Yeah.
But in that season, what do we have? So Zola's still there. Stoichkov only gets 5 goals. Meli is 4 goals, and Dino Baggio 4 goals. But it's a 6th place finish, no cup wins, but we have the makings of the side of the future. So we've got Cannavaro joined, Buffon's come through.
96-97, they introduced a red third kit, which is interesting. They finished 2nd in the league, which is interesting.
Big names coming in, though. Hernan Crespo. We have Lilian Thuram. We have Enrico Chiesa. And also a name which spent a bit of money on, but I have too many memories of Zé Maria, Brazilian right-sided player, I think he was.
Yeah, I remember him, again, through Champ Manager, being incredibly good, but I never heard about him in real life to do anything.
Zé Maria, let's have a look. So, yeah, right back, right midfielder, now age 49. Now technical collaborator at Parma, which, I mean, that is a role, yes.
Money for nothing, that sounds like.
Yeah, it's like, we like you, stick around. Yeah. He only spent a couple of seasons there. It was Perugia afterwards, where he played most of the time, went on to play for Inter Milan as well, which I think I might have a memory of. But he has managed. He's managed around, it looks like, Brazil. Played 25 times for Brazil overall.
Nice, not bad. Yeah. They re-bring back Thomas Brolin on loan from Leeds. Yeah. As well,
Mario Stanic comes in, because Mario Stanic will then go on to a little bit of a Chelsea, like a little bit of
Parma.
Stanic must transfer to them directly. So what happens this season? We have 2nd place finish again, and but nothing else really. 2nd round of the cup, round 32 in the UEFA Cup, but Zola gone. We have Crespo yet to firing. It's Enrico Chiesa actually adapts to the league a lot better.
Nice. A terrible start to the season let them down. They lost 3 games from just before Christmas onwards. But before that, went on a run of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games without a win. between October and December.
Weren't scoring enough goals. There's 3 nil-nils in there.
Yeah. Not good. Did they change that though, Josh? Did they fix that into 97-98? No, they finished 6th. So
finished 6th, 97-98, in the Champions League, though, because of their second place finish. Hernan Crespo now takes the role of goal scorer. And they sign a player for us who is there for one season and then goes off to Manchester United. They sign Jesper Blomqvist.
Oh my word, yeah.
Any affinity to Jesper Blomqvist?
No, he was pretty shit, wasn't he, at United?
Yeah, I don't really remember him being... Do you know what, he's somewhat interchangeable in my mind for Jordi Cruyff at United.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. I think he was a hard worker. He was a grafter, but yeah.
Can you tell me any other clubs that he played? He played for 2 other English clubs.
I want to say Blackburn.
Don't.
Okay, I won't say Blackburn. Is this one of them begin with a B?
Nope.
Okay, these aren't guesses. These are just questions.
Just prodding,
musings.
Yeah,
yeah, musings. Mm-hmm. Who did it? Are they Premiership clubs?
One is currently. One's League One.
Oh wow. Okay.
It was Premier League at the time, I imagine.
Charlton.
Yes. Yeah. Manchester United just for 3 seasons. Right, but appears 25 times.
Yeah.
Everton for a season, 15 appearances, 1 goal, and Charlton 3 appearances in 1 season. But it's funny, his page actually has a image describing Blomqvist's goal against Helsingborg. So like, you see, the last, you have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it.
That is brilliant. Okay, this is a must see because it's got descriptions like befuddled goalkeeper. It looks like it's I'm almost certain it's been done on paint.
Do you know? What it looks like to me is that someone's done it in 3D on a computer system and then have gone, oh yeah, well I can't show 3D on Wikipedia, and they've just flattened it. Do you know what I mean?
It's just the way that all the players are kind of crabs.
How has this passed the Wikipedia approval thing? Blomqvist runs into space. Oh, they've even spelt Blomqvist wrong on the bottom one. It's got a U in it.
Yeah,
Blomqvist runs into space. An excellent pass puts Blomqvist through. Fakes left but runs right, totally confusing the keeper. Blomqvist finishes with an easy shot and open goal. Befuddled goalkeeper.
It is the line. The lines are so poorly drawn. That is. Check out Jesper Blomqvist's page and see how bad that is.
Oh my word! I'm so glad I've seen that.
So it's 97-98 season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is where it gets big. 98-99. We have Blomqvist out, Veron in, and Asprilla back.
Yeah.
We have 4th place finish. Okay. We have double cup win. Under new manager, Ancelotti was in for a couple of seasons, didn't achieve anything. But Alberto Malassani, a name which...
No memory.
Doesn't evoke any memory whatsoever.
No.
Oh, he's got a head of hair, hasn't he?
He has. And he's managed a lot of teams.
He's been outside Italy once to Panathinaikos.
Yeah.
Oh, controversy. Hold on.
Oh, we love a controversy. What's he got?
He wildly ran and celebrated in front of the tears of Verona supporters when he was at Chievo. And his behaviour was criticised, but Malassani fought back during the post-match interview, claiming his managerial wins and defending his conduct. Blah blah blah. There's more.
He has
controversy in Panathinaikos
and Siena
and Genoa.
it's all about journalists generally.
Yeah, he's described as limp.
No man.
He must have won something with Panathinaikos. He didn't. His Panathinaikos record is a 60% win rate, a 30+ goal difference. He managed to not win. Who doesn't win Panathinaikos?
Yeah, he won Serie C 1 with Chievo, and then Parma. He won Italia, UEFA Cup, and Supercoppa Italia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, looking at this squad, Josh, what's your starting 11? Do you think the starting 11 is like you're picking? You're the manager, and they're all fit, they're all healthy. What are you picking?
So, we've got Buffon in goal.
Yeah.
we're going to have to go for probably back three. I'm looking at this. Thuram, right side centre back. Probably Sensini, because he's old, in the middle. And then Fabio Cannavaro at left centre back.
Yep.
Trying to see who can play wide. Stanic maybe wide.
Yeah, I assume Mario Stanic.
Stanic wide right. Who's going to play on the left hand side here?
Fiore? He was a winger, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was right foot. Maybe Paolo Vanoli. A midfield, so you've got midfield of Veron. Sure in there. Dino Baggio, legend in there. And
then you've got what? Chiesa, Crespo and Asprilla up front? In a 3-4-3?
Yeah, I mean that's very much a Antonio Conte type side. Yeah. Well, let's see, we can go to the cup final. They win the cup final in Europe here, don't they? So the UEFA Cup final in 1999 against Marseille, so we can see how they line up in that match.
Was this, before we get into the game, was this the Marseille team that then got their title taken away, or was that the Champions League one?
That would have been earlier, that was 92. Ah. So this Marseille side has Prato in goal, Laurent Blanc, Pierre Issa, Domero, Blondo, Edson, Brando, Bravo. Ooh, Gouvernech, Robert Pires with Florent Maurice. Titi Camara comes off the bench.
Nice.
So, but Parma lineup. So Buffon, tick. Thuram, Sensini, Cannavaro, tick. Baggio and Veron in midfield, but with Alain Bogossian. Vanoli's on the left. Diego Fuser on the right. So no place for Mario Stanic, who's not even on the bench, so maybe injured. But Crespo and Chiesa up front, so Asprilla has to settle for the bench. So not too far adrift, but a pretty easy win overall. They're 2-0 up at half time. Marseille don't come back into it. Chiesa scores a third soon in the second half.
Underdogs Marseille had four players suspended for the final after the team's semi-final victory over Bologna, which ended in a fight in the players' tunnel. Ravanelli and William Gallas both received yellow cards, which barred them from participation in the final. Christophe Dugarry and Hamid Yambi would also serve the first match of their respective 5 and 4 match suspensions on the sidelines following their involvement in the brawl.
Oh, that's a bit gutting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't get embroiled in brawls. Yeah. Hugh Dallas was the referee. Do you remember Hugh Dallas, the Scottish guy?
I do not remember Hugh Dallas, no.
Referee, yeah.
Okay. Goal scorers Crespo, Vanoli, and Chiesa.
Vanoli, any memory?
No, I was just thinking that. Paolo Vanoli, looking very smart.
He's a manager now, yeah. Venezia manager. Venezia have got lovely kits.
Yeah, they do.
Lovely, lovely kits. Yeah, so we went through the Italian youth teams as a technical coach, assistant, and manager. Chelsea assistant would have been under.
Ooh.
Conte? No, a bit late for Conte.
2017, who would have that been?
Let's have a look.
2017 season. Something that blew my mind when I first clicked on Paolo Vanoli was a journeyman played for many clubs, including Parma and Fiorentina, for a 9 billion lira fee in co-ownership deal. I mean,
it was Conte, by the way. Yeah,
it was Conte. 9 billion lira blows my mind. And then co-ownership deals in Italy are just bonkers as well.
Yeah, like, I imagine that's when the lira is kind of struggling and it was worth Napoli. Yeah, when looking at the season, we have, you know, Thuram 53 appearances in all competition, doesn't grab a goal. Buffon 51 appearances in all competition. I mean, harsh to say, but doesn't score a goal. Diego Fuser must have been their first choice. He played 48 times in all competitions. Yeah, Diego Fuser. So his picture again is from 2018. Must have been something he's doing with Dino Baggio.
Yeah,
for Italy. Yeah,
I don't remember Diego Fuser, but yeah, he's won Serie A, European Cup, European Super Cup, and Intercontinental Cup with Milan. Coppa Italia and UEFA Cup runner-up with Lazio. Surely that should be UEFA Cup winner. We've literally just come from the phase where that's Lazio. Sorry, Coppa Italia, UEFA Cup, Super Coppa Italia with Parma, and a Super Coppa Italiano Serie A runner-up and Coppa Italia runner-up with Roma. So loads.
He's done it, isn't he? Yeah. He's had a good time of it.
Again, though, Josh, it's that lack of loyalty, isn't it, about playing for clubs in his career. Torino, Milan, Fiorentina, who are big rivals of Torino, Milan, Lazio, Parma, Roma, Torino. It's like, oh.
It's a different world.
Different world
for sure, yeah. So we move on to, so it's a great season, win the cup double there. Malasani in charge. We go into a new season. This is where they have cashed in on one Sebastian Veyron. But they did manage to hold on to Buffon and Thuram, who were targets for Lazio.
Did they sell Crespo at the end of this season? Or is that next season?
Yeah, Crespo goes... this is a Crespo's last season as well.
Ah, okay.
So they hold on to Thuram, Buffon for two seasons, but Crespo for only one. But Crespo does end this season as top scorer, goal scorer, 22 goals, but they finish fifth and win. We just win the Supercoppa Italiana. So who else do they get in? They get in. So they replace Veyron with Ariel Ortega.
Nice.
They bring in Marcio Amoroso. Dabo, I think, was infamous for his.
Man City
with Man City, Joe Barton, yeah. Stephen Appiah, do you remember Appiah?
I do remember Stephen Appiah.
Now, why do we remember? Do we remember him from English football at all?
Stephen Appiah, central midfielder.
Central midfielder, yeah.
I mean, I want to say Portsmouth, but I don't think it is.
No English link.
Yeah, must just be a common name in the gaming world.
Yeah. Ariel Ortega, disappointing time. I'm trying to think where I actually remember him playing. Was it in Spain? Or?
I think Valencia is
missing with.
I think
mixing up Gallardo. No, we've got Sonia Valencia. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, River Plate to Valencia, Sampdoria, Parma, River Plate, Fenerbahce. He was old boy, River Plate. Then a few loan spells. Ariel Ortega. Yeah, that diminutive number 10. Got it wrong. 88 appearances for Argentina.
He only made 18 appearances for Parma in the league. In the year, three goals, one appearance in the cup, no goals, seven in continental, no goals, one other, no goals. So pretty disappointing season.
Johnny Montano, that's a name I've not heard of in a long, long time.
That's a name I don't recognise.
Yeah, Colombian forward or midfielder. I think he was a kind of attacking midfielder. Yeah. That's probably very much an FM, because I'm looking at his career and it is all over the shop.
Yeah,
quite frankly, in terms of sides, I recognise probably five clubs there.
Yeah,
one of them's called Sport Boys,
and he's played for them twice.
That feels like he's just filling a gap on his CV. Well, he's played some Sport Boys.
Jonier is the father of Jonier Montano Jr., who is also a professional footballer. I'm going to go and see where he's played. Oh my word, you thought the other guy had a short page. Jonier Esteban Montano Barono is a Colombian footballer who currently plays the midfielder for Deportivo Municipal. He is the son of footballer Jonier Montano.
And at least this guy's only 18.
Yeah, that's true.
It gives some excuse, but Hernan Crespo, Gianluigi Buffon, Lilian Thuram, Cannavaro are all still there, but achieve only a Supercoppa Italia. Win.
Marco Doveo is a name. Marco Doveo is a name I recognise.
Marco Doveo, forward, yeah.
Montreal Impact. I knew he went somewhere in the MLS, yeah. Parma, Juventus, Valencia, Monaco, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lazio, I really remember him. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry. So what do they do here? They win the Supercoppa Italia. They finish fifth in the league. Not bad. Third qualifying round the Champions League and Coppa Italia round 16.
And so we go to the 2000-2001. Players are being sold. We have Hernan Crespo sold for a world record fee. They lost in the final of the Coppa Italia, dropped out of the UEFA Cup early, and it led to the sacking of Malasani. Sergio Conceição, Matias Almeida come in.
As part of the Crespo deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
De Vaio scores 15 times. Marcio Amoroso continued his miserable display at Parma shirt. So he gets sold at the end of the season. How dismal is it? We have 39 appearances, 11 goals in total. Yeah, it's not great. Seems though he'd scored basically 1 in 2 for Udinese beforehand and scored back basically 1 in 2 for Dortmund the year after.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this, because they finished fourth, even though they've sold Crespo. I guess they haven't completely sold everyone yet, have they? They've still got Buffon for this season. Appiah's there. They've got Conceição, Cannavaro, De Vaio, Johan Mekou. That's a name I recognise.
Johan Mekou comes in. Yeah. We have Patrick Mboma, Savo Milosevic come in. So it's very much that churn of big names in Italian football at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. So when do they completely fall apart? Like, how far are we away from?
So, no, they maintain their top kind of 2003, 2004.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm just looking at
Mutu scores. Mutu's there in 2002, 2003, but they seem to finish 17th in 2004-05.
Yeah, because 01-02 they finished 10th, which seems to have given them a bit more of a kick up the arse. But it's such a change in players in the squad. Sebastian Frey comes in. Again, another chat manager legend.
That's a player who I really... There's a couple of keepers who seem to stay. Like him and... who was the CSK Moscow keeper who never moved out?
Oh, my God. What's his name? Igor Akinfev.
You think, oh, I'd like to have seen you.
Yeah. But I'm going to run some names by you in this squad in 01-02 for Parma, right? Sebastian Frey, yep. Stephen Appiah, still there. Sabria Lamucci. Hidetoshi Nakata. Hakan Suka.
So Nakata, Bolton, Suka, Blackburn?
Yeah. Fabio Cannavaro still there. Johan Maku. Marco De Veo still there. Mateus Almeida, the Argentinian, still there. Claudio Taffarel comes back.
Oh, blimey. Martin Jaitu, I remember.
Oh, okay.
Defender.
Georges Bolano, yeah. That's
Jaitu played for Bolton as well.
There you go. So, yeah, so that was 01-02 is 10th, and then... The next season, yeah, fifth. They go back to fifth, and that's Adrian Mutu scoring.
Yeah, Marco Bresciano. Adriano's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matteo Brighi was there as well in that time. So when did they go bankrupt? I'm just trying to think what it said on terms of the club. Let me go back to the club page and see. 2007. They were in administration.
Relegated, yeah. So they get relegated in 07-08.
Yeah.
Serie B. But they bounce back straight back and spend another... kind of 5-6 years, and then is when it all collapses. 2015, they are down to Serie D. But they are, you know, as of last year, they spent, it was their third of 3 years in Serie A, but got relegated to Serie B. And obviously, Buffon is back with them.
He is, isn't he?
Buffon is currently a Parma player.
Currently captain and player. Have they got any other players that we recognise in the team?
I think it's unlikely, but we've got a very mixed... nationalities here now, isn't it?
Dario Sitz is a name I recognise, but I don't know why, from Latvia.
Christian Ansaldi, I think, was a fullback.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know why I know Dario Sitz. Yeah. I'm watching someone playing a Parma save, and he kept on trying to get him in the first team as a youngster. Yeah.
Do you reckon I'll look back and think, if only we could have won the Serie A at that time? They've got a lot of cup wins, which is good, but I think they're probably searching out for that Serie A title.
I think there's always a thing with clubs that when they win something in Europe and haven't won a league, I think that's always a big sort of missing point, right? That if you're good enough to win something in Europe, especially, okay, they didn't win the Champions League, but I think if a club wins the Champions League and doesn't win a league in Europe, which is why I think Liverpool were always so annoyed, I can't think of a better word, but annoyed they didn't win the Premier League, because they had won the Champions League in its modern formats 3 times without winning a Premier League title. It was sort of like, how can we be that good against the best football teams in Europe and not be the best in our own country? I think that is a little bit of a...
They have now, obviously. They
obviously have now, yes. But yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, with an asterisk, right? During COVID, so... Doesn't really count.
Yeah,
but
isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah. What's your fondest memory of Parma? Like, what do you immediately think of? Is it the kit? Is it a player?
Think of those... that defensive unit of Thuram, Cannavaro, Buffon is what my immediate thought goes to.
Okay, yeah.
And how solid that really, really should have been.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, there have been the spatterings of talent being and high-value transfers around it.
Well, you sent me a really good photo, didn't you, on WhatsApp of that lineup that was. Should we go through it quickly, that lineup that you sent through, because that was just an incredible, incredible picture to see when you sent it, which sort of influenced this podcast. So yeah, it was Buffon in goal, Thuram, Cannavaro and Sensini at the back. We had Benavario, left wing back, Dino Baggio with a full head of hair. Yeah. Bogasan in there, Fuser at right wing back, Veron sitting in behind Balbo and Crespo, which is and they're in that.
So Veron, then, is his reputation tarnished by his United time, or did you quite like it?
And
he wasn't a roaring success.
He was class. It just wasn't made for the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
He was an amazing player. It would be exactly how I pictured if Riquelme had ever come to the Premier League. A fantastic footballer, but just wouldn't be able to have the ability to keep up with the pace of the constant pace and the constant games of the Premier League. So, disappointing. But we'll end it there on a thought of never seeing Riquelme in the Premier League. We'll end it there. And we'll see you, or listen to you. No, you'll listen to us next week. And cool, thanks everyone. If you want to see us on socials, we're on Instagram, Twitter, search Wikipedia Wanderers, you'll find us there. But for now, we're out. Cheers.